6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs' inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I'm good. I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here comes Kevin back with it now. 7:15 to go in the game. Kevin goes down the lane. Throws it out to Gallo. Left side three, Danilo Gallinari is good. Oh, did the Hawks need that. Gallo hits the three, and the Hawks trail by a point now. 81-80. Kevin way out on the right side, 12 on the 24. He's guarded by Curry. Now Kevin takes it on the baseline. Right to the hole. Puts it up and good. Kevin Huerter with a clutch basket. That ties the game at 84. Now Trey out there dribbling in the middle. Fires a long three. Bang! Trey Young! He just hit the big three, and the Hawks lead by six. And the horn sounds, and these Atlanta Hawks have defeated the number one seed Philadelphia 76ers in seven games. The Hawks win three in Philadelphia to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks on Wednesday night in Milwaukee. What an effort by the Atlanta Hawks as they defeat the Philadelphia 76ers 103-96.
I felt like they were built for this moment tonight to win this game. They've shown this type of play really all season long for us, finishing a game or finishing the fourth quarter. And I really felt confident that we were going to play a good game tonight and give ourselves a chance to win.
Hot damn. How about them Atlanta Hawks? Wow, what was that? Oh, it's going to be a fun week, isn't it? It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. Welcome to the morning show on a Monday. I think we have something to talk to you about this morning. Like, why not us? Why not now? I'm just guessing here. Hugh Douglas, what is up?
Grand Rising John Fricke, Grand Rising Atlanta. Boy, I tell you, I know, man, it was some partying going on last night in Atlanta. It was a lot of people happy, man. I mean, a lot of people that were happy last night. Shout out to the Hawks, man. They got it done.
How about winning a Game 7 on the road in those conditions, staring down the Philadelphia 76ers in the number one seed like that in the fourth quarter in their house? Yeah, that was pretty darn impressive. That ranks right up there, Hugh. That's a moment. I know it's only the semifinals and not the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, but that's still a moment. I mean,
they got there, John. They got there. Man. I mean, when you talk about the way this season started, I mean, if you're being realistic about it, they've exceeded all the expectations that anybody set for them.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, house money. House money is what it is, and they got a chance. They got a chance. Against the Milwaukee Bucks, they definitely have a chance. So, that's the thing about it. I mean, it's like everything, the stars are lined up perfectly for the Atlanta Hawks in this finals. So they have a chance. So this is anybody's ball game. I don't care what anybody says. You know, there's going to be some pundits, some real cats that have played the game of basketball, that have talked about basketball for years. That I guarantee you, there's going to be people that give the Hawks a chance because nobody saw them doing what they did. Nobody saw this.
But if you told me that Trae Young at one point in the game was 2 for 19 from the floor, I would have said, "Oh man, we got worked." No, not really. What is the Hawks' long suit? I mean, the Hawks played their long suit last night. Everybody, at this point in the year, you got to play your long suit is your superstar LeBron. Your long suit is you score a bazillion points with Steph and you shoot the lights out of it. Your long suit is the old Detroit Pistons bad boys hold everybody to 75 points. You play to your long suit. What's the Hawks' long suit? They have a deep bench and somebody steps up. And when Trey is 2 for 19 and Bogey is MIA, suddenly here's Kevin Huerter and here's Gallo making play after play down the stretch.
Yeah, and not only that, John. Like people wanted to point out to me last night, I sent out a meme saying, "Does Trey Young have y'all attention now?" And you know, some my folks in Philly. Well, technically, Hugh, he wasn't the one that.
Oh,
you know,
my God, really?
Yeah, I got a lot of that last night. So I was like, hey, man. So I kept it PC. I didn't say a whole lot. I was like, hey, man, I'm just going by who they talked to at the end of the game. I mean, they talked to Trey. So Trey is a superstar. You know, I know Kevin Huerter had a huge game. I know that. But Trae Young still facilitated and kept everybody in it. Like, and he came up big in the end. I get he wasn't the guy last night, though. But he's been the guy during this series. So, I mean, you know, that's what I said. So, you know, people were mad about that. People were mad about some of the non-calls or some of the soft calls that they were getting during the course of the game. They have been playing physical that whole game, though. Like, for real.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and, right. The whole series.
And down the line, man, the Sixers were committing a lot of fouls. I mean, come on. So, I mean, I kept it, you know, it was just one of those things where people wanted to, at the end of the game, and I get it, people are upset, but they want to point out all of Trey's flaws. Well, you know, he's out there hunting for fouls. Okay. I saw the other night when I was watching Brooklyn play, I saw, what's his name, James Harden do the same thing. And nobody questioned when he did it, you know. And somebody was talking about, it's going to be curious to see how he plays next year. I ain't worried about next year. I'm talking about this year, but okay, whatever. Congratulations to the Hawks, man. Congratulations to Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, all those cats for buying in to what the new head coach of the Atlanta Hawks was selling. Nate McMillan, because I got to think at this point, John, come on, man. He has to have the job. He got to have the job.
Oh, he had the job. Pardon me.
Puff, puff, pass, John.
Puff, pass. I know. I was up a little bit late cheering last night. He had the job, you know, prior to this. I mean, I don't think that was a question. They've got a deal done. There's no reason to break the mojo now and announce a deal. I mean, just keep going. You know, let everybody think. Think that he's coaching for his job. He isn't coaching for his job, Hugh. I mean, we all understand that. This is one of the tougher shows to do sometimes as a talk show host, one that doesn't get all caught up in the morning, is that I have so much in front of me, and I want to say so much about this series that, Hugh, just give me a minute on, or 30 seconds on what you think of this next series and how they match up against the Bucks.
I think they match up well against them. They've beaten the Bucks this year. I think there's a chance. John, they have a shot. They have a shot, in my opinion, to go all the way to the finals and make some hay. Like, in the finals, it's going to be, you know, it'll probably be a little different. I mean, it's going to be a little bit much tougher, much, much tougher matchup. But, man, for this team to be where they are right now, John, like, the sky's the limits for the Hawks. I think that everything that you've ever thought about this squad or wish for this squad is right in front of them. You're talking about free agency. I don't know, again, don't know how interested they'll be in any of the free agents that are coming out this year. But Atlanta's, I would think, with the way that they play, this is an attractive destination. Next year is going to be different. I don't like looking ahead. I don't. And I'm trying not to do that. But when you talk about what the Hawks have done in this playoff series, all eyes are going to be on the Atlanta Hawks next year. And you talk about, like, a sea change in respectability, games that are on television, things of that nature. I can see all of that in the Hawks' future. I see Trae Young being a prolific pitch man in the next couple of months. And then on top of that, John, for him to give his dad the jersey like that on Father's Day from that game, from that performance, that was pretty cool. Like, that, you talk about one of the coolest Father's Day gifts to give your son to give you or your daughter, whoever, was that was pretty cool. That was really cool.
It was very cool. And again, we have plenty of time today. We're going to be clearing the decks for the show today to you know, take a lot of your calls, talk about, you know, why not us, why not now, and get your thoughts about the Atlanta Hawks headed to this game one Wednesday night. A couple of things, too, to know. One is 8:30 starts, okay? So just plan your day and night accordingly, and we got to do it, too. We're early morning people like you are. So 8:30 starts for this series, and that means a lot of late nights, a lot of 11 o'clock, 11:15 finishes. But okay, we'll have to deal with that one. It's all good as long as you win, and we'll get your thoughts about that. We'll open up the phone lines. Lots of calls today. Do want to say that, you know, obviously because of the Hawks, we won't be spending a whole lot of time talking about the Braves or United, though they are worth a quick mention here and there. One with the Braves, congratulations, Hugh, to Ronald Acuna for his 100th career home run.
The youngest person to do it. Under 24, what?
He's one of five. He's okay. One of five to have 100 home runs and 70 stolen bases.
Yeah, one of the youngest to do it. Age. It was like him, Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr., A-Roid, Mike Trout, and Andrew Jones.
Yeah, hey, great company to be in.
No kidding. 100 home runs and 70 stolen bases at this point in his career. The Braves play a critical road trip, and it starts tonight. It's a little bit of a makeup game tonight. At Citi Field against the Mets, four straight against the Mets, and it starts tonight with Ian Anderson against Jacob DeGrom. Man, good luck to us tonight. DeGrom is, well, you know, today is the first day that they can't use the sticky stuff, Hugh.
Yeah, StarTac.
So you can check every time. I'd be checking DeGrom's baseballs like nobody's
business. Wait a minute, what is it called? Wait a minute, I want to get it right.
SpiderTac.
SpiderTac, I call it StarTac. I was thinking about the old cell phone. StarTac.
If I'm the Braves, I'm like, check the ball after that pitch. Check the ball after that pitch. The game might last 8 hours.
No, I'll tell you what. It's going to be different, John, because it was a lot of pitchers that were kind of upset, and they let it be known.
Well, they were upset about the rule. Well, if you're upset, what are you doing?
Cheating.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not cheating, but it's just funny how this became a whole story because – buddy, whose name escapes me every time I say it, could not sit up there and just tell a simple lie. I know every time that he goes
Garrett Cole.
Anytime, damn it, Garrett Cole goes anywhere, people looking at him like, man, you make me sick, dog. I hate you right now because you didn't mess up. You messed it up for everybody. What did he do? I can't answer that. I can't.
Are you cheating?
That.
Yes or no?
Can't answer that.
Suddenly there's an offensive explosion in baseball. Now that
that's what they're thinking. That's what people are thinking. They're definitely thinking it.
Yep.
I can't believe that.
Hawks Bucks game one Wednesday in Milwaukee. Game three is next Sunday. At State Farm Arena. Good luck getting tickets. You might want to try today. Matter of fact, you might want to try whenever they open up at 9 a.m. or whenever they start. Because good luck with getting tickets to Game 1 Sunday at State Farm Arena. Your calls ahead. We'll do a little morning mash and much more. It is the morning after the Hawks knock off the Philadelphia 76ers. How about this, Atlanta? As I said at the beginning of the show, why not us? Why not now? We're going to be taking your calls, too. We'll do a little morning mash, then we're going to open up the phone lines to you all morning long. Your reaction to the Hawks winning Game 7 against Philadelphia.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Fairburn.
What's happening?
It's Andy Bunker here from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks for listening to us every weekday from 10 to 2 on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's 6:20 Atlanta. Time for the morning mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. Get up. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Oh, baby, it's going to be a lot of fun today. You're going to get a lot of calls into the show, which means you're going to stress out poor Abe because Oren isn't here today again. And that means Abe is running a one-man ship, Hugh, back at the shop. So he's got, like, triple duty. You got to produce, and technical produce, part of the show. You know what? I think he's probably pretty happy right about now. At least he's back home safe and sound, and he's got a Hawks win in his hip pocket. How you doing, Abe?
I'm doing all right, guys. Happy Monday. Grand Rising to all the listeners out there.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, I'm sort of glad Oren's not here because, man, was an emotional roller coaster yesterday.
Oren's got some issues, y'all.
No, he was stressed.
He's got some problems.
He wasn't stressed. He was stressed.
I don't understand because this is what I said to him last night. I mean, look, he was in on every play. I mean, he was riding the roller coaster, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how he gets through a Georgia football season. Like, I really don't.
Yeah.
Because every week, me as a Florida fan, every week, I mean, when we're having a real season, like some years we suck and it won't matter. But, like, when it matters, like, every week feels like a game seven, right? Because it is. That's what makes the college football season great. I don't know how he gets through the season. I don't know how his hair's not gray. I don't know any of it. But I am happy the Hawks won.
Yeah, right? You know what's funny, guys? And I don't know how you felt. Well, let me ask you how you felt during the game. I was never really – I was pretty calm. I mean, I want them to win, but I never really thought that they weren't going to win. I actually thought they were going to win from the opening tap, and there was nothing that was saying to me that Philadelphia was going to win the game. And then they got into the fourth quarter, and once we got past the midway point of the fourth quarter, I said, Hawks are going to win this game.
Oh, once they got into the second half, it was over.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. When
I
looked
at all.
The Trae Young stat line in the first half, and you looked at where the game was, you felt pretty good.
Yeah,
because you knew Trae wasn't going to do in the second half, or excuse me, in the first half what he had, or in the second half what he did in the first half. He was going to get a little bit better. It didn't get much better. It got a little bit better, though. A key shot here or there. But, the whole thing for me was just avoiding the initial rush. Right, just don't get blown out early the first quarter and a half.
They kept it close.
Yeah. The Hawks have been the better second half team most of the series.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
except for game one, right?
And it was one of those things where it just felt like, you know, this was their game. To me, it just felt like it was just their game for the taking, to be honest. And that's how I felt during the course of the game. I just felt like it was.
You know what the other issue is? And we may get into this if we actually get to some of this audio. The Hawks are together. Like, they're a unit. They're a team. There's some real, real fractures over there in Philly. And I think it showcased itself as much as it has all playoffs long last night. And it's just the wrong time
for that
to
happen. Well, when Ben Simmons is underneath the basket for a dunk and doesn't take it because he's so afraid of getting fouled, I mean, it was like you were in between his ears big time. I mean, dude, you're standing in front of the basket to dunk it. You don't dunk it. I'm like, huh?
Well, that's actually going to take – we will get some audio here because that's going to take me right to the first piece. Press conferences up in Philly were quite interesting last night. Joel Embiid at one point was asked what he felt where he felt things went wrong for the 76ers.
Man, I'll be honest. I thought the turning point was when we I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was just we had an open shot, and we missed. We made one free throw, and we missed the other, and then they came down and scored.
I mean, he didn't exactly say the turning point was when Ben didn't dunk the dang ball, but he pretty much said the turning point was when Ben didn't dunk the dang ball. he was kind of hiding it, but not really.
Yeah, because he was salty. Like, dog, why don't you poke that? Dude. Like some of the memes, some of the tweets that I saw last night were very mean. I know it's gonna be hell this morning in Philadelphia.
I can't wait. I'll be honest. Listening to you guys for the next 3.5 hours is gonna be good. When I sign off here, I'm doing exactly what I did after Game 5. And WIP is getting pulled up on the Odyssey app. I can't wait. I really can't.
Yeah, there's a song in the Broadway play 1776 that I just remembered, and there's a line in it that says, "It's hot as hell in Philadelphia." Well, guess what? It is. Hey, how about the trolling after the game, guys? Hugh, how about Collins wears a T-shirt with him dunking on Embiid?
That was epic. That was an epic T-shirt.
That's the first thing that he's done all season that should net him a max contract.
You waited all morning.
It's been there.
You waited for that, huh? I mean, I respect that, though. I respect that level of pettiness that you displayed right there. But, yeah, I mean, that was a dope T-shirt, though. I was like, my thought was, man, that was a pretty quick turnaround to get that T-shirt made. Somebody, he must have knew somebody that could do that for him. But, man, listen, they showed a lot of grit. And just like my man Ike just tweeted me this morning, I was talking about, I hate to do radio up there. I said that last night. I was like, man, he did not anticipate it going the way that it went. He did not anticipate it being what it was, but it is. And I think that's how a lot of Philly fans feel right now, Sixers fans feel right now. Nobody expected this to happen, and that's why everybody's crying. Sal Graves talking about they were the better team, that Philly was the better team, and that's why it hurt so bad. Well, probably not, because when you talk about playing the Sixers, when you talk about playing against the Sixers, when we played them all those times, We were never healthy. We weren't healthy. And a lot of people, I think that a lot of people stated that. And they said that, you know, when you talk about this team, you know, going up against the Sixers probably, you know, underestimated how good they were because there was a lot of guys that were not on the court when they played.
Well, so let's be honest, Hugh. The Hawks being the five seed is obviously misleading. We know, look, a lot of people maybe outside of Atlanta don't understand what happened with LP and the start of the season, the fourth quarters, all that stuff. We know that the five seed, if Nate had been here all year and they played like they did since March 1st.
And they were healthy.
Yeah, and the health thing too. But just in general, if they had played like they had since March 1st at the start of the year, they're not the five seed. They're in the discussion with Milwaukee or Brooklyn or even Philly. And so, I mean, they were one of the best teams in the NBA record-wise since Nate took over. So the idea that you're a five seed, the idea that's a very misleading for people outside of Atlanta who really didn't pay attention. You know, people didn't pay attention, and you know this, Hugh and John, people didn't pay attention to this team until they were in Game 3. Against the Knicks.
And then all of a sudden.
Or game one until Trey hit the game winner. People didn't watch this team.
No, they didn't watch it.
All of a sudden, now Trey needs to work on his game. And when the NBA changes, Trey's going to struggle. Man, stop that. I mean, that's the narrative now. When the NBA changes and the rule changes, Trey's going
to
struggle.
Only thing Trey's going to struggle to do is not make the next 10 straight All-Star games.
That's what how it should be.
That's about it.
Yeah, because there's some makeup for not being in the All-Star game in Atlanta this year. No question about
He's
it.
He's putting it on them right now, that's all.
Abe, holding on the fort back at the mothership. What else you got?
Well, so, you know, we mentioned the press conferences there in Philly. Obviously, Joel Embiid had to face a little bit of the music. Doc Rivers had to face a little bit of music when it comes to his max money point guard as well. So here's one of the questions directed to Glenn. As they're going to call him in on WIP today.
To kill him. He about to get
right. We'll get to that in 1 second.
They're going to call him X at this point.
We're going to get to that in a second. But here's what Doc Rivers, Glenn, had to face at postgame yesterday.
Doc, do you think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team like the one you guys want to become?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. You know, so I don't know the answer to that.
Yankees starting pitcher Garrett Cole just rang in. He said, way to answer that question. That's a great job addressing
wow.
it.
Wow, yeah, but listen, dude, like be full of transparency. I you know, because I'm here, don't get to see a whole lot of Sixers games. And so when people ask me the question about Ben Simmons and why he doesn't like to shoot free throws or why he doesn't like to shoot, period, I really couldn't answer that. But I tell you what. I see now, like, during this playoff series, I see now why people are frustrated with him. Like, it just seems like he just wants – he doesn't have that, you know, that it factor. He doesn't have that gene that
it's
wants
to tied
to
the
over.
Money, though, right? Like yeah. if he was well, your backup problem. Point I mean, guard and he just came in for some good defense, which he plays. I'm not taking that away from him. He does play – he's got good court vision. He's got good handles. He's got good size. He rebounds.
He just don't want to shoot.
He just can't shoot. And that's fine for your sixth man or a defensive stud to lock down the opposing. That can't happen when you're making $177 million.
Right, exactly. That's probably and the trade value is. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. I honestly look. I know they're going to talk about this in Philly, and I'll be honest. I actually don't think Ben Simmons gets it as bad today as Doc Rivers does. I think Ben Simmons got it pretty bad after Game 5, but nothing changed. He didn't get better, but he certainly didn't get worse. I think Doc gets it big time today up there. I can't wait.
Let me ask you. Hugh, is Doc Rivers' job in trouble?
I know people are going to be calling for it now if it's in trouble as far as the organization is concerned. That's a good question, John. I don't know. This is bad because let me tell you what the narrative is up there and what I got from it, from just listening to different people talk, different fans of the Sixers talk. They felt like they lost to an inferior team. They felt like they were a much better team than the Hawks. That's where the issue is. That's why, you know, a lot of people are upset because they look at the Hawks as an inferior team. So, yeah, there's probably going to be some conversation had about all of that.
Yeah, you got beat by Kevin Huerter, and that's going to be what they say there. Kevin Huerter? Are you kidding me? You got beat by Kevin? Well, yeah, Kevin Huerter was great last night. It was the Huerter and Gallo game because Gallo was big when he had to be. Well, he had some great moments. Lou Williams had a great moment. Gallo with that great steal. I mean, Okongwu had a nice moment or two. Yeah, you got nice contributions block. Through and through from that team. You know, just when they needed it, to pick up Trey when he was struggling, his teammates there had his back. And guess what? The Atlanta Hawks are off to game one of the Eastern Conference Finals Wednesday night against Milwaukee. All right, here's a chance now. Let's hear from you. We can open up the phone lines, too. We're going to be asking the big question. Is the Hawks destiny, or are they just riding the wave right now? Because that's kind of where we're at. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Your chance to win a grand 11 times a day.
Cash money.
92.9 The Game's national signing bonus. 11 chances every weekday to win your share of over $250,000.
For complete info, visit 92.9thegame.com.
Now Embiid trying to back in. He lost the ball. Kevin Huerter gets it. Up ahead to Nello Gallinari. Gallo breaks in. He jams! And the Hawks lead 98-92 with 41.5 seconds left.
And that was pretty much ball game at that point. As Steve Holman on the call on 92.9 The Game. Steve's going to love. I'm going to call this the Steve Holman series coming up because welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Hugh, he and Coach Bud, that's not really a thing. So, you know, he's going to be, hey, Bud, how do you like this rebuild there, Bud?
I mean, quick little turnaround, too. Yeah, quick little turnaround. So, I'm talking about for the Hawks, that is, which the job that he didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, it's playing out, John, like kind of like you wanted it to. You know, you wanted the drama of playing Coach Bud. Now you have it.
Yeah, now you have the drama of playing Coach Bud. Second time in 5 years the Hawks have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. First time, of course, was the LeBron Finals against the Cavs. And I think even though the Hawks were the number one seed that year and won 60 games, we all kind of went into that series, you, and went, You know, I think I looked at you and thought, you know.
I mean, yeah, this definitely feels different. I think it's because of the way that they got here and how they've been just battling. It's not been, you know, if things aren't going right for them, it's always somebody else that steps up and kind of keeps the train moving, you know. So that's the thing that it feels good about this squad, no doubt.
And by the way, congrats to Coach Bud for getting his team into the Eastern Conference Finals. That was a gutty win that they had against Kevin Durant. I mean, because, man, a mercy.
Kevin Durant was tired, man. That last shot he took, John.
Yeah.
I watched that one. He was tired.
Well, that shot at the end of regulation, though, I mean, wow.
Yeah, that was money. That looked like a three. If it would have, I know he wished it was a three.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was money.
So the Hawks and Bucks game won Wednesday night. So the question to you today is, are the Hawks destiny or are we just riding a wave? I mean, are you full buying in on this? Because you know me, I've got Kool-Aid. Matter of fact, I need to go get some more Kool-Aid. I mean, real Kool-Aid. I need to go. I wrote it down on the store sheet that we got here. And jumping on the bandwagon, are you all in on this? Why not us? Why not now? Or are we just kind of riding a wave and seeing how far this thing goes? Which, by the way, Hugh, is not a bad thing. If you're just riding this wave, now we've made it, you know, we made it past the Knicks. Okay, we ride the wave into Philadelphia. Now you kind of ride this wave into Milwaukee. And if it ends here, okay. I mean, you've given us, as you said, way more than we expected at the beginning of the year. And so it's all gravy at this point. Or are you now setting your expectation level to win it all?
There's a shot there, John. I mean, I'm slowly starting to believe, and you talk about the stars lining up for the Hawks. I think that's the case. I really do. It just like, because last night when we were talking about the game, it just felt like, you know, it felt good. It felt like they were going to win that one to me last night. Even though at the beginning of the series, I thought the Sixers were the team that was going to win it. I thought they were the better team. Turns out that's not the case. This Hawks team is resilient, man. They're a gutty group. And they're probably looking at the landscape of this NBA right now in regards to who they play. They're beatable in their eyes. Like, whoever they line them up against, they're beatable. So there's that you have going for you. So, man, this might be a team of destiny, John. To be honest, it might be.
Abe, why don't you vote on this, too? Are the Hawks a team of destiny, or are they just kind of riding a wave? I mean, are you buying in? Is this just fun for now, or are they actually going to win this thing?
This might be a weird answer, Garrett Cole, if you will. I don't think they're a team of destiny because it seems like a cop-out to what they've accomplished and how they've grown over the course of the season. This isn't happening by mistake. It isn't just outside forces having they're saying this. This is a team that has grown under Nate McMillan, that has grown their players themselves have stepped into the prime. I'm going to say, to answer your question, I'll say riding the wave, but I think it's a deserved wave. I think it's a wave this team has worked hard for. I don't think it's an accident or by mistake that they got past Philly. I don't think there's anything that's aligned for them. If anything, the whole rest of the league, and look, I know other teams are hurt too, but they're kind of lucky DeAndre Hunter's not healthy.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. I mean, without DeAndre Hunter, I mean, they had other guys step up. Hugh, when you have a championship team that goes on a run, I want you to go back to thinking you're – I'd like you to answer this first. We're going to get to your calls. Everybody hang on here, 404-741-0929, but I want to get the star and the All-Pro in on this because this is so important to me. I know we talked about it at the Super Bowl run. We talked about it probably during the run in 2016 of the Hawks. Hugh, certainly maybe the Braves last year, but that mindset of what takes place inside a team that is riding that wave and maybe destined for something big, and what's going on in terms of belief. Is it a quiet confidence in that locker room? Is it a loud confidence? Is it a hell yeah or a weak, just a nod and a wink? How does that kind of feel in that locker room, Hugh?
It's different for everybody, John. I would probably give you a prime example of what it feels like. Is look at the shirt that John Collins wore at the press conference last night at the game. A shirt, if you haven't seen the picture, John, I'll send it to you. It's a shirt of him dunking on Joel Embiid. Like that right there is savage. That's a savage shirt to wear when you know, you're in a press conference and to have it made and to have it ready to ride during that press conference says a lot. So their confidence have built to this crescendo right now. You look at the sideline and how, like, during the last few minutes of the game, few seconds I should say, like, you got guys over there yelling and screaming, let's go, let's do this. Like, they believe that they can, John. Like, they're right now, they're a juggernaut because it feels like they feel like with the way that they're playing, they can play with anybody and beat anybody.
In any way.
Yeah, and that's
in any type of game.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. It feels like that. Looking at them, they feel like no matter what the scenario is in the game, that they're gonna have a chance to win it at the end. And just say, for instance, if they lose it, it's the best of seven. We'll come back and we'll get them in their building. And then you know what's funny? It even though Trey didn't have a great game, didn't it feel to y'all like it changed or something started to happen when they started chanting F Trey?
Mm-hmm.
F Trey Young.
Right.
Like, didn't it feel like that's when, you know, like somebody said, you poking the bear.
Right.
You woke a sleeping giant. He thrives. Like, Trey Young is comfortable when the building's on fire. Like, he's at his best when it feels like when he's in that moment. When he's in that moment where, you know, everybody's hating on him or he's in an adverse situation. So, yeah, he feels at home in that moment. So, he's not going to cow away from that. So, when you calling him names and all this stuff, you ain't doing nothing but feeding the beast.
Oh no, Trae Young has not only earned, you know, the respect of you know, a lot of basketball heads around the country who realize that you know that he's a pretty darn good player, and you know he gets all the attention that Luka doesn't get because Luka's sitting on the sidelines. but he's earned that attention. But here in town, I think what I've seen in some Hawks fans, Hugh, when it comes to Trae Young, is they spit on him. They F-bomb him. He bows. They foul him. I mean, they knock him down. He's doing push-ups in the middle of the lane. I mean, he is a gritty kid. I mean, this guy is tough.
He loves it.
He's not just some you know, quick shooter who can knock down 35 points for you. This guy has got stones. I mean, this guy is tough, and he's just emblematic of the city. And so, yeah, this is a different kind of – I'm not going to say that he has to be a vocal leader. I don't know. Maybe he is a vocal leader on the team. But, boy, if you think that that Trae Young is just some kind of wallflower, dude's a football player in his own right. You know, he's tough. Love it. 404-741-0929. And you're right. I mean, when they started chanting last night, it was like, hey, Trae was in his element. He's like holding his fingers up. Come on, yeah, let me hear more of it, you know. I'm going to bet that Milwaukee doesn't do that, Hugh. What do you think?
It's probably going to be a little bit different, but I think now, like regardless of what anybody thinks about his performance from last night or whatever, he's on their radar. Like, he's the straw. Like, even when he doesn't score a lot of points, he gets everybody, he still gets everybody else involved. See, that's the thing that I think people are missing, that he still is the catalyst for that squad. And you know, I think they're on notice that, hey, they got a problem on their hands. They really, really do. So he's going to be – I don't. As far as what the fans are going to do, hell, I don't know, John. I ain't seen too many Milwaukee Bucks games. I don't know how they act up there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're a little bit different. It's a not softer crowd, but the Wisconsinites are a little bit, you know.
They're going to be eating cheese. They're going to be eating cheese, I mean, curds and, you know, stuff.
Well, yeah, they're eating cheese curds and drinking, you know.
Hey, Hugh, you be careful how PBR you speak about cheese curds, all right? Miller. I didn't like saying, the disdain there.
It's a lot of disdain. No, cheese curds, it just sounds nasty.
Oh, no, cheese curds are great, dude.
Yeah, you watch it.
Cheese curds are great.
I hear you, but it sounds nasty. I'm just saying.
No. You just if you have them, you love it.
No.
They are great.
No. Haven't had them. They sound nasty.
Yeah, we should get an order of cheese curds sent to you, like DoorDash.
Nah, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, we
don't
should. No, you know what, Abe? Let's mark that down, okay?
They will sit there.
I'm ordering it right now, and it's to my address. How about that?
Yeah, that's probably the best bet. That's probably where cheese curds should reside there.
I'm just telling you, you don't know what you're missing here. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear from you. Are the Hawks destiny? Are they just riding the wave here? Are you buying in? Are you jumping on the bandwagon, drinking all the Kool-Aid? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now this morning. The Atlanta Hawks are going to do this. They're actually going to win the NBA title. The one caveat here is we might want to start rooting for the LA Clippers, because that Devin Booker, that dude. I'm not really worried about Milwaukee. I am a little concerned about Phoenix though. That team, and Game 2 is coming up tomorrow night. That Suns team, okay. Let's get to your calls here. If you're hanging on, stay right there. 404-741-0929. All right, Atlanta, your chance to weigh in here. Are the Hawks a team of destiny? Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.